apotheta, which means be thou open. The epistle and gospel for this 11th Sunday after Pentecost, there is a certain sense of a beginning and an end tied to both the epistle and the gospel. Epiphata, that word, if you remember, where is the first time we hear that word? At our baptism. So it's in that sense, the gospel and this miracle that is only found in the gospel of St. Mark. It's not in the other three evangelists. This gospel, this miracle that our Lord worked today, has a symbolism of baptism because we hear that word, epiphata. And so that's the beginning of the spiritual life, our baptism. In the epistle for today, just as the gospel is about the beginning of the spiritual life, the epistle is about the last line of the creed, the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen. The last step in the divine plan for our happiness in heaven, our bodies reunited with our souls in heaven. We also know the souls in hell will also be rejoined to their bodies, the general resurrection, the bodies reunited with the soul. So St. Paul in the epistle, he's speaking to the Corinthians. If you remember from 2 weeks ago, the Corinthians are Greeks. And St. Paul, he is trying to preach to the Corinthians who are pagans. He's trying to preach to them the fact of the resurrection of the body. And he starts off by saying that Christ rose from the dead, and just as he rose his body, so shall ours rise and be reunited with our soul. So he's drawing that connection. And what do the Greeks do? We see this actually in the Acts of the Apostles. The Athenians, they were also Greeks from Athens, the Athenian philosophers, they, and it's recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, they laughed St. Paul to scorn for stating this doctrine of our faith, the fact that our bodies will be rejoined with our souls at the end of time. The Athenians, because they're these pagans, and the Greeks, the Corinthians, it was very hard for them to take this truth and believe it. Because they thought, as our modern world does now today, that once you die, it's over. It's the end of everything. There's no life after this. It's over. So we can see in the epistle, there's a symbolism here of the same message we see in the gospel. In the epistle, we see that the Greeks, they had a hard time hearing what St. Paul was saying. They had a hard time believing it. They heard with their natural ears, but they didn't believe it. Not all of them. Some did. Some converted. But many, many heard with their natural ears, but they did not believe. We can see in today's gospel, the deaf man, he couldn't hear. He didn't have the ability to hear at all. And because he couldn't hear, he also couldn't speak. And the deaf man, he could not hear with his ears, and our Lord knew that. He can work beyond the impossibility of this man using his senses. Our Lord spoke through to his heart. He saw the goodwill of this man in his heart, and our Lord healed him. And so our Lord, he reads the heart. He sees the intention. He sees that man was disposed to grace, and our Lord worked that great miracle for him. Now, our Lord, why did he work this miracle, and why is it so specific with regard to the man being both deaf and dumb, the inability to both speak and to hear? The gospel, this miracle, is trying to teach us, our Lord is teaching us, about the good use of our senses. Our senses are ordered to truth. What does that mean? Our senses are ordered to truth. The reason we are given the five senses is that we can discover and know what truth is. Nothing is in the intellect. Nothing is in our mind that was not first presented to our senses. Nothing is in the mind that did not first come through the senses. So our senses, they're geared toward discovering truth, knowing it. And so we're reminded that, especially today, with regard to this miracle, this gospel, that our senses, our ears, and our tongue have to be ordered to the truth. We have to order them properly. They are subservient to the higher faculty, our intellect. The intellect is the highest, and the senses serve that purpose, feeding the intellect with truth, whether hearing it or speaking it. We must seek to know the truth. We must seek to speak the truth in everything that we say. We should always speak the truth, but we should also especially reflect on today knowing, wanting to know the truth, wanting to grow in hearing the truth, either preached or out of books, growing in our faith. We should have that desire to know the truth, not leaving ourselves in a state of ignorance, but striving to grow, striving to know more about our faith, know more about God, grow closer to Him. That's the reason why we have these faculties, is to grow, not to just have them and use them for worldly means. So if you remember, once again, the first time we hear that word apheta, that is at our baptism. So we see the connection with that word apheta and the senses, especially the ears. And we should strive today on this Sunday, we should strive to maintain that innocence of our senses that we had at our baptism. Most of us were baptized in our infancy. And we should strive after that. Think of how innocent your senses were when you were a little child. They had not heard sin. They had not heard evil things. They had not heard lies or all these the evil in the world. Your senses were pure. Your tongue was pure. You couldn't even speak. So we should desire to return to that level of purity. We remember the words in sacred scripture, the words of our Lord, "He who, unless you become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." So that's that symbolism there. So returning to that purity of our senses. Our Lord, He touched the man's ear with His finger and He used His saliva. Now that sounds a little strange. We're going to get back to that, I promise. But the symbolism, basically, is that He's allowing the man to hear truth. He's opening his mind, opening his ears to be disposed to properly use his senses to seek God. So our Lord, He gives us these senses so that we do good with them, so that we order them properly, so that we use them correctly for His honor and glory. And what are some points that we can reflect on using our senses purely with regard to our ability to hear, our ability to speak? The first one, the most grave thing that we have to be focused on, is any time we hear a blasphemy said in our presence, something that is a direct attack upon God or the angel saints or our Blessed Mother, we should say an act of reparation right there out loud. Something like, "Blessed be the name of God forever." Because it's so evil for someone to blaspheme God and to be in our presence and have us not say anything about it. It's like watching your friend being attacked and you not do anything. So let us have that courage. If we are around other people that use impure speech, they speak impure words all the time, they talk about impurity, we should help them to see their error. And also when they speak, we should not show our approval, not join in, we should simply walk away. Have that confidence to walk away. If, this is an important point, if you have the habit of struggling with bad words, bad language, reflect on this. It's not just that it's bad, But what do you call someone who uses bad words? What are they actually suffering from? Ignorance. Why? Because of all the words and the language that we can use to convey thoughts, ideas, and meanings, and these high and lofty thoughts, instead we stick to basic, base, evil, impure words. Just think of that. And we repeat them over and over like a little child that only knows a few words, but a child at least knows pure words. But as an adult, how often we fall into that of using bad words habitually, without even thinking about it. It just comes out of our mouth. A lot of the saints have many things to say on using the tongue properly. Saint Alphonsus Liguori is one of them. Very hard-hitting words. He says this. He says that one who tells impure jokes or uses impure language is doing the work of devils. And a very visual example of this, I heard this one time and it really sticks, really hits home. Impurity or speaking evil or just sins of the tongue in general. That could be anyone who utters lies, calumnies, detractions of their neighbor, angry words, bad words, impure words, all of it. The person who does that is like answering a phone call. Hell is calling, you answer the phone, and hell is speaking through your mouth. That is very true. The devil, because God does not give him the ability to speak. The devil would probably, if he could, many times God restrains that power from him to speak. How does he do it? He speaks through us. He tempts us to say what he would say. That's especially true of the world which we see, all the lying and backbiting, that's everywhere in the world. That's the devil. That's him doing his work. We should reflect on how dangerous, how sins of the tongue, not only can't you take them back when you say them, but sins of the tongue, and they hit way harder than most people can punch. They have way more devastating effects than most forms of light violence, you could say. So we should reflect on these things today. Proper ordering of our senses, our ears, our tongue. And at this point in the sermon, if I've lost you up to this point, you might be wondering, is he going to tell us what is the symbolism of our Lord using his finger and the saliva and the ears? Why does a priest do that at baptism? What is all that about? I will not leave you waiting. It's quite interesting. Everything that our Lord did in his life, there's a vast explanation. It's overflowing with meaning, symbolism, and just everything. It really inspires, opens your mind to the beauty of every small little detail. So why did our Lord do this? Why does the priest do this at a baptism? He says, "Apheta," and he touches his tongue with his finger, and he touches each ear of the infant child or the adult being baptized. The symbolism here is that phrase that's in the Old Testament, and it's something that we've probably heard before, by the finger of God. By the finger of God means by the power of God. By his power, you can do all things. So that's the symbolism of the finger. By the finger of God, saliva, what does that mean? What is that? It sounds repugnant. Saliva is directly from the mouth of God. In that sense, it's our Lord. It's directly from him. It's the heavenly wisdom coming from the mouth of God to open the ears of the person being baptized, or in the miracle, that man who didn't have the ability to hear. He couldn't physically hear the voice of our Lord, and he couldn't spiritually do it either. So we have the example of both the natural and the supernatural happening, so that we can get a grasp on what is actually happening here. And so our Lord, he touches the ears, he opens them. Just like the Greeks in the epistle and the example of St. Paul, how they didn't want to receive it. They could hear it. They had the full use of their ears. They had the full function of their ears. They could hear properly. They didn't want it. They rejected truth. They rejected the voice of God was speaking through St. Paul right to them, and they rejected it. So let us reflect on all these wonderful details today for this 11th Sunday after Pentecost. And let us ask God, let us ask him, just like at the moment of our baptism, let us ask him to open our ears so that we can hear his voice. Let us ask him to help us to overcome our sins of the tongue, sins that we commit by our ears. And let us ask our Lord to repeat that word over us. Apheta, which means be thou open. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.